Hello, today is April the 4th, 2021, and it is Easter. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. This is the call and response that liturgical Christians everywhere will be using not just for today, Easter Day, but for the entirety of the Easter season, for the next 50 days. Somehow the church in its history has recognized that this transformational event cannot be sort of relegated to one day. We've spent all of Lent in a spiritual wilderness of sorts as we've contemplated our sinfulness and our mortal nature. We've lived through the drama and passion of Holy Week. Today we come to the empty tomb. And having come to the empty tomb, we can't simply go back to business as usual. It can't simply be, yes, Jesus is risen. And now what? We've been, over the last few days in the Gospel of John, reading of the post-resurrection experiences of Jesus. As someone has said recently, there is not a single description of the resurrection in any of the Gospels, only the aftermath. Disciples in varying numbers come to the tomb and discover it empty. Jesus appears in all sorts of ways at unexpected times, and the disciples are left to make sense of what that means for them and how they're to live forward after experiencing the risen Lord, after seeing the empty tomb. For those of us who've been reading through the Gospel of John, we come today to the last little bit, the last sentence, in fact. And I wondered as I was rereading it in anticipation of this brief meditation, how many people had ever read the last sentence in the Gospel of John or remembered it. I find it striking. So this is the last sentence in the Gospel according to John. There are also many other things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. A bit of an editorial comment by the author. I suppose that if all the things Jesus did were written down, not all the books in the world could contain it. Now, that may be a bit of hyperbole. It may be a bit of rhetorical flourish. But if Jesus is alive, and I believe he is, and the church confesses that he is, if the resurrection happened, and I believe it did, and the church confesses it did, then all of a sudden, the evangelist's claim is not so far-fetched. When Jesus comes out of the tomb, goes ahead of his followers to Galilee, when he is loose in the world, showing up in odd places and at odd times, none of us has an inventory of all that Jesus did, is doing, or will do. That is the mystery of Easter. Jesus is not in the tomb, and Jesus is not entombed in our ideologies or our customs. Jesus has been raised to new life, and that new life and new reality, it every now and then seeps into our regular lives, and maybe sometimes our warped reality. Through the years, people have often said to me when leaving church on any given morning, and sometimes even on Easter, they've said, well, this was all well and good, and now I guess you need to get back to the real world. As if what happens in church is somehow abstracted from the daily realities that everyone lives. And that's why I've so enjoyed this season's reading through John. There is nothing abstract about Jesus in John. He talks to Nicodemus, who's questioning in the middle of the night. He turns water into wine so that a wedding celebration doesn't go awry. He feeds thousands with some bread and fish to prove that God provides for us in the deserts of our lives. He tells us that He is the Good Shepherd, that He cares for the sheep, that's us. He reminds us that life, resurrection life, is wrapped up in knowing Him. He heals the man born blind, and in that healing, we can begin to see who He is. He raises His friend Lazarus from the dead, and in his grief and his prayer to God, we not only get a glimpse of His humanity, but when Lazarus comes forth, we are confronted with Jesus' deity. He gathers with His friends, breaks bread with them, washes their feet, tells them to love one another. This Jesus in the Gospel of John is far from aloof. He is right with His followers, the people who come to Him searching for answers, and He's right there with the people who oppose Him. He is not a theory. He is lived experience in flesh and blood. John began his gospel by saying, "The Word was made flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus is the fullness of God. And in Jesus' life, we see the fullness of the good news. And it is a fullness that cannot be contained. The fullness of God's grace, the fullness of God's truth, the fullness of God's resurrection, the fullness of God's way of life cannot be contained in a tomb. Jesus is risen. And because Jesus is risen, Jesus' work continues. And so all of a sudden, the hyperbole at the end of the gospel, that sounds pretty real to me. I suppose if everything that Jesus did was written in a book, well, if it was written down, it couldn't be contained in all the books in the world. So today, be on the lookout. Take a little moment. Look out your window. Look in the face of a family member. Look at the flowers. Look at the trees. Watch the birds. Listen for the wind. You never know. You never know. Jesus is out of the tomb. You never know where He will show up. And when He shows up, He brings with Him the joy, the challenge, and the hope of life changed, transformed, redeemed. He brings with Him the hope of life eternal, life everlasting, new life, real life, joyful life. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let us pray. Almighty God, who through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of the Lord's resurrection may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.